But I just want to share with you something that the Lord laid on my heart this past week. And it was all because of a conversation that I had with a dear brother in the Lord. Have you ever had a conversation with someone and the Lord give you something from that conversation? Well, the pastor, when he texted me on Wednesday night, he asked me if I'd be willing to do that. Little did I know that Thursday would be such a day that, and then Friday was such a day. But the Lord sent this brother by on Thursday, and I really believe that he sent him by to give me a thought. And I want to share that thought with you this morning. And one of my most favorite people in the Bible is David. The Bible speaks of David as a man after God's own heart. Now, David had his issues, didn't he? David transgressed against the Lord. He sinned against the Lord. But David had a repentant heart. And I think sometimes in our lives, if we're not careful, that we forget where God's brought us from and what he's done for us. And David was just a mere shepherd boy when he killed Goliath. But David stepped out and said, "Is there not a cause?" And there was a cause. And God used him mightily. And then God chose David to be king of Israel after Saul. And God had his hand on David. And David did some wonderful, wonderful things. But what I want to speak to you about this morning is David's relationship with his dear friend Jonathan. Now, Jonathan was Saul's son. And Saul was jealous of David, and he was afraid of David, because the Bible says that Saul kept an eye on David. He saw what God was doing with David, and he saw God's blessing and hand on David, and it made him afraid, and it made him jealous. But God put Jonathan and David together. Even though Jonathan was Saul's son, he put those two together, and they became basically inseparable. They even made a covenant with one another, and they loved each other as their own soul. And David loved Jonathan, and Jonathan loved David. We know about that covenant because it's given in 1 Samuel. If you want to read that sometime, you feel free to do that. But what I want to start this morning is in 2 Samuel chapter number 4. 2 Samuel chapter number 4. And I'd like to speak to you today on this little thought. Lord, help me to remember your grace. Lord, help me to remember your grace. Here's the thought that came to me after the comment that was made to me. How many of you have ever heard this comment from someone say, "Well, I'm doing the best that I can"? Have you ever heard that? Have you ever made that statement? "Well, I'm just doing the best that I can." May I tell you this morning, doing the best that you can is still not good enough. It's only by the good grace of God that we are what we are. It's only by the good grace of God this morning that if you're saved and a child of God, it's only by the good grace of God. You say, "Well, what does grace mean?" Well, grace literally means favor. And grace gives us something that we don't deserve. Do you feel that way this morning? I don't deserve anything that God would do for me. Absolutely, positively, nothing. I don't deserve it. But I'm so grateful for his grace. I'm so thankful this morning that God bestowed his grace upon me. He showed me favor. He did something for me that no one else could do. You say, "Well, what's that got to do with Jonathan and David?" Remember their friendship. Remember the oath that they took with one another. Remember the friendship that they had, and how it didn't waver any. They made a covenant with one another. And so this morning, as I speak this about this, I hope that God and I pray that God would help us to understand and realize of what he's done for us and what grace really means. When it comes to grace, what we're about to read demonstrates a firsthand example of God's amazing grace. As Christians, we sometimes lose sight of what God's grace is and what it has done for us. We live in a time and we live in a society that it's very uncertain, is it not? We live in a time when you pick up, you know, read the newspaper or you turn the TV on and all you hear is bad news, bad news. And if we're not careful, we as Christians, and I know primarily I'm speaking to Christians this morning, but I want you to understand something also this morning. If you've never put your faith and trust in God, God's amazing grace will save you today. He may be speaking to your heart. Maybe you're a church member. I don't know. Maybe you're a church member and you've been struggling with some things, and maybe you're struggling with your salvation. Understand God's amazing grace. He may be dealing with you this morning. You say, well, I've been a church member for... That doesn't matter. God's dealing. God's speaking. God's trying to show you this morning. Don't leave here today doubting, and don't leave here today uncertain about your salvation. And Christians, we need to leave here today with a new zeal in our heart of understanding God's amazing grace. Here in chapter number 4, and let's look in verse number 4. 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse number 4. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell, and he became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth. Now Saul's son Jonathan was a tremendous and wonderful friend to David. Even though his father was trying to kill David, even though his father sought after David, there were times when Jonathan would help David and protected him. But Saul was just so overwhelmed with hatred and jealousy of David that he wanted to destroy him. But then God puts these two together and they forge this friendship. And then Jonathan has a son. The Bible speaks of when word came out of Jezreel that Saul and Jonathan were killed, it says that the nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. Now his name was Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth will play an important role, an important thing, I believe, in God showing us the amazing grace of the king. David did not forget Jonathan. David did not turn his back on Jonathan. And David would realize, and David would come to realization and want to know, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, is there anyone in Jonathan's household that I can show kindness toward? Now, if you'll turn over to 2 Samuel chapter number 9, 2 Samuel chapter number 29. From chapter number 4 to chapter number 9, we read nothing else about Mephibosheth. Not another word is said about Mephibosheth. The only thing that we know about Mephibosheth was that he was lame and he was crippled. He was crippled. Basically, Mephibosheth had to have someone to take care of him. He had to have someone to wait on him. But he was crippled from a fall. Now his fall was physical. Our fall is spiritual. We're crippled from a fall. You see, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, man, they chose death over life because they disobeyed God. God told them, the day that you eat thereof, you shall what? Surely die. And they chose death more than life. But you see, mankind, all of us, every person in this auditorium was plunged into sin. You see, I was born a sinner and you were born a sinner. Now, it doesn't make any difference what kind of family you come from. If you come from you may come out of a home where your dad was a preacher or a missionary or your family. That makes no difference. You see, each one of us individually have to give an account because each one of us were fallen. Each one of us is crippled by sin. So, Mephibosheth is crippled because of a fall. Chapter number 9. And David said, in verse number 1, Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was the house of Saul, a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? Aren't you glad for the kindness that is being shown here? David did not have to do this, folks. I'm telling you, David did not have to do this. He was king. He was seated. He had all of the accolades that come with that. But David did not have to do this. But he inquired, is there anyone in Saul's household because of Jonathan that I can show kindness toward? Oh, that God would help us in our everyday life, that we might just show some kindness to someone. You see, we're around people every single day that are hurting, that are crippled because of sin, and all they need is some kindness. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us this morning to understand the grace of God. Let's start in verse 3 again. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. Now, if you know anything about Lodabar, if you do any studying at all about Lodabar, the word Lodabar means pastureless. It means low. He was not a good place to be. But that's where Mephibosheth was at. He was in a low place, not only because of him being crippled, but he was in an area that was known to be a low place, a place of that just wasn't sought out by a lot of people, a place where people you just didn't travel to very much. Does that remind you of anything in our lives? Crippled by sin? We were in a low place? A place where really you just didn't know how you were going to get out of? Have you ever been so in a place that you wonder, how in the world am I going to get out of this situation? How am I going to get out of this lowly place that I'm in? That's the way Mephibosheth was. Not only was he crippled, but he was in a place called Lodabar, a pastureless place, a place where it was just not a good place to be. Verse number 5, then David sent and fetched him. I like that, don't you? Out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. And when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth? And he answered, Behold thy servant. Think about Mephibosheth here for just a moment. When the king calls for him, what does he want with me? Why would the king be calling me? I would imagine that even in Mephibosheth's mind, maybe he was afraid. He was scared. He knew that Saul, his grandma, had done his best to do away with David. And maybe he thought in his mind, I really don't know, but I know how when the preacher says we're all made out of the same stuff, I know sometimes when I get a call from corporate, from our corporate offices, they want you to call them back, Randall. And I'm thinking, oh, what have I done? What are they going to say? They're not going to let me go, are they? I would imagine that Mephibosheth thought that same thing, maybe. What does the king want with me? What's he going to say to me? What's he going to do to me? He gets in front of David, and David asked him the question. And when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not. Don't be afraid. Fear not, don't be afraid. For I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? For us to understand, I believe, really understand the grace of God, that favor that was given to us, that he did something for us that no one else could do. David was about to, I believe this is a wonderful, wonderful picture here of the wonderful grace of God working out in the life of David, Jonathan, and now Mephibosheth. Even though Saul was trying to destroy David, and may I tell you this morning, Satan is trying to destroy. He is the author of destroying. He's the author of lying. You see, he's jealous of God. He hates God. And he'll do anything that he can to try to get us off course. We've been studying about Job and the sufferings of Job, and then how his friends came to him, and the first one being Eliphaz, and Eliphaz was telling Job all these things, and they had come to be probably an encouragement to Job, but they ended up being a discouragement. And Eliphaz became self-righteous and was telling Job what he thought he saw in his life, and he had sin in his life. But Satan and God had a discussion about Job. And God asked him, said, Have you considered my servant Job? For there's none like him. He's righteous, an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. You see, Satan this morning is a, if I can use this, if you take Saul, and Saul was so jealous of David that he was so jealous of God's appointment and God's hand on David that he wanted to do away with him. But because God put Jonathan and David together, a friendship that would last and last and last. They even made a covenant with one another. And I don't mean to repeat myself, but it's just, I want to try to the best I can to tie this together. And now the king has called for Mephibosheth because he wants to show kindness to the household of Saul. Even though Saul was trying to kill him, even though Saul had done some things to him, had made his life basically miserable, he was still going to show kindness. He mentioned Saul's house and Jonathan. And he calls for Mephibosheth. On the way there, as I mentioned, maybe Mephibosheth was afraid. He was anxious. He was thinking about some things. And maybe David saw that. Have you ever seen fear in someone's face? Have you ever seen someone that life just seems to be going well and all of a sudden they get some bad news and they get something that's tragic that's happened in their life and you can just see it on their face? They're fearful. And David looks at him and says, Don't be afraid. Don't you be afraid. You see, because I'm going to show you some kindness. Because of my love for your father and even your grandfather, I'm going to show you some kindness today. Now, I would imagine that Mephibosheth kind of perked up a little bit and maybe thought, he's going to show me some kindness? Wonder what he's going to do for me. What's he tell him? I'm going to restore some things. And you're going to sit at my table continually. And you're going to eat with the king. And you're going to have fellowship with the king. And you're going to sit there in that place, Mephibosheth, forever. You're going to sit there continually with me. I could care less if you're crippled. I could care less if you have nothing to bring to the table. Because I'm doing this because of my love for your father. I'm doing this to show some kindness toward you. And for us to understand and realize the good grace of God, for us to understand what God did for us, Mephibosheth and David are a wonderful, wonderful picture of that. Let me say this. We were like Mephibosheth. We were all crippled because of a fall. But oh, hallelujah. I was sought out by the king. One day, the king came by my way. You know what he said to me? I want you to sit at my table. I'm seeking you. I want you to come. I wanted to extend that favor to you, Randall. If you're saved this morning by the good grace of God, he did that for you also. Here, I want you to sit at my table. You see, I'm seeking you. I want you to come. If you're lost this morning, he may be speaking to your heart. Don't you let him pass by you this morning. Don't you let him get by you this morning. If he's speaking to your heart, you need to say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I want that. I want to take that extended grace that you're giving me this morning." Christian, as God's people, for us that are saved this morning, have we forgotten what the grace of God is all about? Have we become so hard-shelled, and have we become such a people this morning that we have forgotten what God has done for us in extending that kindness and that mercy and that grace to us? Thank God for his mercy. If it wasn't for God's mercy this morning, we'd all get what we deserved. We'd all be in hell. But all the, I remember the king calling. I remember that well. Do you remember that? Is that something this morning that you go back to and you think about all the day that he passed by my way? And he lifted me. You remember that song, "He Lifted Me"? From sinking sand, he lifted me. Oh, thank God for the, we were sought out by the king. But do you understand this morning that we, what we deserve from the king? What did we deserve from the king? Absolutely, positively, nothing. Nothing. David didn't have to do this for Mephibosheth. David didn't have to show any kind of kindness whatsoever, but he did. And we get to the point in our lives, I think, sometimes that we think that God, he owes us. God doesn't owe us anything. But I am so glad this morning because of his amazing grace that he extends that to us. You see, that's very evident this morning because He sent his darling son into this world to die for me and for you. If that's not love, I don't know what it is. What is? But have we become so hard and calloused? Have we become to the place in our lives that we go through the rituals of coming to church and doing this and doing that and saying all the right things that we have forgotten the grace of God? I believe this, that if we really understand and can grasp hold of what God has done for us, it'll change us. Yes, we're saved on our way to heaven, but what are we accomplishing? Well, it was sought out by the king. Understand what we deserve from the king, but we can rejoice in the words of the king. We went before the king, and what did Mephibosheth hear? I'm going to show you some kindness, Mephibosheth, because of your father, Jonathan. And you're going to sit at the table continually. We have this book that is given to us, and we can hear the words of the king. And he has invited us, and we sit at his table. And he gives us things. He gives us scripture just such as, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, our faith has not become sight yet, but one day it will, brothers and sisters. Before this very day is over, Jesus could come back. At Eastern sky could split, and we'll go up to meet him. Our faith will then become sight. And we can rejoice in his words. He's promised he's coming back. He's promised that he'd never leave us nor forsake us. And he's promised us a home in heaven for us that have put our faith and trust in him and have accepted that kind and gracious grace of God. And one day, we'll sit at the table also. We'll sit at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we'll be with him continually, forever and ever and ever. Well, there'll be no more sickness, sorrow, death, parting. All of that will be passed away. It's really, when all this takes place and we're able to look upon the one who gave himself for us because of his kindness, because of his amazing grace, God's amazing grace. You say, well, I'm a pretty good old Joe this morning. You know what the Bible says about our righteousness? They're as filthy rags. But one day, do you remember when he called? Do you remember the words that he said? Do you remember a rejoicing? Do you understand what we deserve this morning? Mephibosheth had it all now. He had it all. He was taken from Lodabar, a lowly place, a place that really no one wanted to be. And now he's sitting at the king's table. Can I tell you this morning, dear friends, if you're here and you're lost, the king is calling. He's speaking, he's calling. He wants you to come to the table. He wants you to be one of his sons. Don't you leave out of here today letting Satan tell you a lie. Don't you leave out of here today letting Satan defeat you. God's extended His loving kindness and His grace. He's extending it this morning. Christian, where are we at with this thing of grace? Do we really understand God's amazing grace? Verse number 8, and he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Who are we that God should look at us? Who are we? God's amazing grace. May God help us to understand what Mephibosheth and Jonathan and David. David was the beneficiary. Mephibosheth was the beneficiary. Of a love between two people. We are the beneficiary, Brother Johnny, of the love between the Father and the Son. You see, we needed a Savior. And Jesus said, I'll go. Because of the friendship of two, kindness and grace was bestowed to one. Because of love and compassion between two, we are the beneficiaries of that love. May the Lord help us this morning to understand the grace of God and what it means. And if you're here and lost, I hope you understand that God loves you more than you'll ever know. And His desire is for you to come this morning and sit at the table. The King's calling.